candidate for the 58 Senate seat, joined us this morning. First off, it's good to see you again.
Always good to be here, Tom.
You know, as we continue to run through this, I mean, there's always, and you've been around politics and know that there's these distractions and these big items that they want to distract us from the meat, the day-to-day fare. And, you know, when it comes to the day-to-day fare, the school funding formula is a good example of Springfield and malfunction because everybody agrees it needs to be changed. Everybody agrees there's winners and losers, saying there shouldn't be winners and losers, but there are.
Right.
And everybody agrees, yet nothing can be done.
Well, I think we're moving in the direction of getting something done. We're getting more attention to this issue. And I think the folks that I've been working with, particularly State Senator Andy Menar from up closer to Springfield, has been very smart about building coalitions. And I think we in Southern Illinois need to be smart about that. We need to look at ourselves and say, we're not just Southern Illinois and being put upon by others from somewhere else. We need to say, who are the folks in other parts of the state? Where are the people near Quincy, Illinois, near Mattoon, who are also losing out on state funding? And how can we work with them to build a better state funding system?
You know, because one of the things that's very often said is we don't want there to be losers. Now, the people that they talk about being losers already are, well, the popular, and it's not a metaphor, is Michael Gouch saying, how do I explain to my school board that we're using 21, 22-year-old history books while another school is worried that they will lose the chef on Friday and the sushi and the string quartet? How does that balance? And quite frankly, that's a good question.
It doesn't, right. It doesn't. If someone is looking at this prospect, this idea of funding schools from state money, and if you're looking at it from a statewide perspective and saying, how are we being fair to children across the state, we're just failing at that right now. We are assigning winners and losers based on who has what property tax resources in their area. And by the way, it also means that those of us who live in areas with less real estate value have to be taxed even more, right? When people complain to me about taxes, the most common complaint is, wow, my real estate taxes are really high. And part of that is because real estate taxes don't measure whether you're having a good year or a bad year in your small business, whether you've saved a lot or saved a little. Real estate taxes just measure a fixed value that's the same.
Got a man who contacted me last week, says I've got about an acre and a half, Williamson County. My property taxes went up $500 in 1 year this past year. That's a big change, especially fixed income. On the list goes the ramifications. Now, the governor's had a turnaround agenda, and if there's one that is a singularly contentious item in the state of Illinois, and that's workers' rights to organize. I mean, I literally saw messaging out of the Democratic Party this weekend says that Governor Rauner wants to stop all collective bargaining. I mean, that was one of the statements I read this weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely been a part of his agenda from the get-go, is to reduce the rights of workers to organize. He would like to do it in a location-by-location strategy. I'm not sure that that's constitutional. I don't support it in either way. I think our right to organize helps us build a better workforce, a workforce that can be responsive to issues about safety, and make sure that we can raise our families on the incomes that we bring home.
And most often than not, that's the message. And my friends who are particularly in unions say, look, what we do affects everybody's wages in this state.
Absolutely.
And yes, it does. Others would say, yeah, every time you get those guys get a raise, I get more, I have to more pay more taxes. I mean, it really all depends on whose side of the fence you're right on this. But the fact is, when it comes to unions, they've played an invaluable part in the growth of this country.
Absolutely.
But I've always, in particular, a pendulum that swings. And I'm thinking particularly not about state workers, but coal mines and unions, where, you know, unions where their employees were really getting mistreated to the fact that you can be an employee who's caught with a lunch bucket full of silver and literally walk out, true story, and fight to get your job back and get it successfully, even though you've been stealing from the company and it's proven. That pendulum swings back and forth. That pendulum is swinging in Illinois now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
for state workers.
I think that that the rights of any kind of worker to organize right now is threatened, and it's an important time. And you know, full disclosure, I'm a union member. My husband and I are both in the Illinois Education Association. That's important to us. It's important to our job security. It's important to be able to have a voice at work, and that's what a lot of unions mean to folks. But as you mentioned, it also helps the rest of the economy, right? In terms of training and ability to get the job done safely. I think my best example is my nephew, Robbie Canope, who lives up in Steelville with his wife, Lizzie, and their fabulous little baby, Alex. Anyway, Robbie's a lineman, works with the IBEW. Because of his union training, he does the job safely. The job that I'm looking at some dark clouds coming towards our way in the studio.
Right.
When things get bad, it's Robbie and his colleagues who are out there repairing lines in the middle of storms. I'm happy to put a little bit more into my power bill to make sure that people who are doing that are doing that safely and wisely.
All right. Can I tell you personal experience about unions?
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to unionize a radio station I was working
really?
At. Really? Yeah. So I get a hold of the union and have a conversation, and we finally get to the right person, and he starts asking a few questions. He says, "You're too much trouble. You don't make enough money."
Oh, goodness. That's a bad response from a union. It's a very bad response.
It's affected me, you know, going down to, because then years later they called after I started making more money. Then they wanted to unionize me. But when I was making $176 a week, you're too much trouble. You don't make enough money for us to unionize. And see, that's one of those items that, and there have been other cases that's not that way. I mean, my mom was a union steward for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
And my father was a union breaker. Luckily, we ate off the floor like twice a week. because that's a great way not to have food.
Right.
You've
right.
got the
oh,
food.
Goodness.
It's just flying around the room.
Right.
You know, and here's another item. Redistricting. We've seen this tennis ball pop back and forth. It's in the judicial system. Now we do have a Supreme Court date. Redistricting is a system that has been abused from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. It's one of those bipartisan things that whoever is in power loves the system.
Tit for tat.
Right, right. And people, it's interesting right now in Illinois, the Democrats control, or at least in the last redistricting, the Democrats controlled the strings. In other states where the Republicans are in charge, it's they who are fighting to defend that system. Fortunately, I've been a part of efforts starting in 2009 when I was on the Reform Commission, and we issued a report calling, among other things, for redistricting reform. We've sort of had two strikes already. The first time, they didn't get enough petition signatures. Second time, enough petition signatures, almost lost at trial court. Not enough money and planning to get it done all the way. This time, they took every possible lesson from that last trial court loss, loaded up the signatures. They've got more than 500,000 signatures, and it is now on its way to the Supreme Court, which is a really good thing. Our Constitution allows us as Illinoisans to make some changes in that constitutional process, and we've got to be able to figure out a way to do it. The Supreme Court might say yes, it's on the ballot, or they might say here's steps A, B, C, and D for next time you try.
Right.
And if it has to be that, I'm on for the ride again next time.
But the judge in Cook County, Lodge, I keep thinking, made the decision that even though the challenge was because from the other group, People's Map or something like that. This would undermine minority voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
The judge decided, no, you're taking too much power from the legislation that's given to them by the Constitution. And when I read her decision, I'm saying that's because it's the point.
Exactly.
You can't do this because you're trying to do this. The reason why we're trying to do this is because that's the point, and we do have the right to alter the Constitution. This is me not being a lawyer telling you my frustration to somebody who's a lawyer. So where am I off base on this?
No, you're entirely right on target. And sometimes the question is that a trial court judge looking at this without a lot of guidance from appellate courts or the Supreme Court has a lot of discretion to say, I think this part of the law is important. This Supreme Court decision, the fact that the Supreme Court has taken the case, they've recently accepted supportive briefs as well. This is going to mean that going forward, whether the issue is redistricting or other changes in how the process works, we're going to have some guidance. And going forward, we'll not only know this is exactly how many signatures need to be filed, but this is exactly how an amendment to the Constitution needs to be phrased and worked, and this is how we can act out our rights under that Constitution.
I think they got 256,000 signatures on that.
No, over 500,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it over half a million?
So exactly.
It's 556,
yep.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other thing. If there's one thing you and I know, we need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading a nice little bit about your hometown, Makanda.
Uh-huh.
When all of the rural people all came, because they were there to take the fruit and put it on the train that went to the big cities, and it was the biggest deal. And everybody was there. It had to be done. The clock was ticking. There weren't refrigerated cars.
Mm-hmm.
On the list goes. Big deal, right? We had jobs, things in this landscape that we talked about. You know, once upon a time, we cooked bread in Anna. We made hats in Harrisburg. We made shoes in Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
We literally can go down the list. That's gone. We have to start anew. Is there a way for the state of Illinois to help small business, to help college students, you know, taking ideas and opportunity and melding those together to create jobs in Southern Illinois, specifically in the 58th District?
Yes, there is. And it's headquartered at the Small Business Development Center on campus at SIU. It is something, it's my favorite kind of economic development, right? There are people who fantasize over bringing in the next auto parts plant. Great if you can get it. What I'm interested in doing is supporting the people who live here, who have roots here, who want to start a business, and who have the expertise in the area, whether it's a, you know, running a coffee shop, or manufacturing something like what you're talking about.
Making new feather pillows.
Feather pillows. I was thinking of that. Yeah.
I have one. My favorite pillow.
There you go. And the Small Business Development Center helps people with the things that you don't think about when you're imagining how you could do this business. They help with how do you want to incorporate? Can you do your own taxes or do you need to get someone else? How do you build that business plan so the bank is going to approve your loan? And these are opportunities for Southern Illinoisans to be self-reliant, to employ themselves, to then reach out and employ others in a way that is not going to be moving off to another country, but is going to stay here and support our schools and everything else.
The very heart of what I consider about America, I got an idea. I think it's better than your idea.
Yeah.
I want to take my market, my idea to market, and I want to be rich.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Our system facilitates that.
Or maybe I don't want to work for somebody else. Whatever that internal thing is,
right.
I want to be me, mine. If it's fixing screens on iPhones,
mm-hmm.
or whatever
right.
it takes, there's a million different ideas. And it's actually fascinating at the Research Center with the things we do and the ideas that we have. I was there for a group, you know, watching how they could impregnate chemicals into clothing and so it could release at different times and create different things. And I'm sitting here going, oh, we could turn
that
into
fun.
Camouflage. That could be used for bug repellent. You could change the color of your clothes without going to the wardrobe change. I mean, I'm literally going, we could put, you know, detergent in there so it's self-cleaning. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas that can come out of a place, and the ideas are right here. And sometimes I feel we do not do enough to take those people and lift them up and create that opportunity and the second order of effect, the jobs that would come along with it.
Exactly. And the price of that expertise there at the Small Business Development Center is incredibly small compared to other economic development activities. It's having staff there who have genuine expertise in starting up a business and can help. I got to experience in Pinckneyville a young woman who's part of their high school CEO program who's a cupcake maker, right? And so she's expanding. It's like my friend.
Saw that story.
Yeah.
Loved that story.
Yeah. So.
Because I don't think she's done yet.
I think you're right.
That was my first thought. If this is what she's doing now with cupcakes, how much you want to bet there's something else behind that? Whenever she gets a little older, she's going to get, I got an idea.
And you look at the growth of wineries and breweries in Southern Illinois. These are local folks having an impact, doing what they love. I want to promote that. There's a lot of folks from around, from way outside the area, who visit us because of the wine trail, among other things.
You bet.
The economy moves. We got to be ready to move with it.